A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription for a limited time. Sign up for just $9.99 and get full access to everything we do, including daily pro picks, all the summer action, including NFL, college football futures, premium analysis from our team of handicappers and industry experts. You also get 24/7 video access. You can see our pretty faces if you want to do that. And pro tools like our exclusive betting split showing you where the public and the sharp money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe today. It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander here on a Monday, a numbers game on VSiN. Kelly Bidlin is behind the glass. Drew Densick joined us last segment to talk all things NBA and tennis. And Kelly, that does lead us into our NBA discussion. And as we sit right now, it's sitting at nine. It's been sitting at nine for 2 days now and hasn't moved, though it was 208.5 yesterday on the total. So we have seen at least a half point move in the total, tick up just a tad to 209.
Ooh, I see some 209.5s now, too.
Starting to pop out there in the industry. Minus 380 on the Nuggets if you want the money line, plus 310 on the Heat if you think that they win this thing outright. It's just very hard for me to get to a point where I don't feel like this series is over. And mainly, I think that the last game was really the indicator as to just the talent difference in these two teams, right? Because you don't get the monster game from Jokic. You don't get the monster game from Murray. You could argue, yes, the assists were there from Murray, but you could argue kind of a mediocre game even from Murray. And then you get it from everybody else, and that's enough to get it done, right? I mean, you turn back the clock with Gordon to get 27 from him. You see Brown contributing. You see KCP hit the dagger three that really just iced the whole thing. And you have these ancillary players that, given the opportunity, were able to step up and get it done, where you look on the Heat side of things, and what I consider to be there's something going on with Jimmy Butler. I don't know if he's tired. Yeah. I don't know if it's an ankle. I don't know if it's a combination of both. He has not looked the same at all. And Bam Adebayo is just, he's an okay number two. He's not a guy that can elevate and become that, you know, when he needs to step up and be that go-to guy. And then the rest of the staff, the rest of the team is fine, right? They're fine, and it's a fine makeup. But I don't think it's a team that is really built to withstand what the Nuggets can bring to them. And I think that really showed last game, right? I mean, you get the normal game from Jokic. You get an average game from Murray, and you still are able to win in dominant fashion.
Yeah, and you could, I mean, look, you could say, hey, they shot 50% from three, but this is a team that doesn't really take a lot of threes. Yeah. So it's not like you're gaining a ton there. I'm with you. I think last game was a good example of what the true difference in these rosters are. And that was much more what the Miami Heat have looked like all regular season as opposed to what they've looked like in the playoffs, with the three-point shooting percentage being at 32% for them. The one, I think, if you are going to take over some pros from what Miami did in that game into game five here tonight, they finally looked to get out and run. That was kind of the one area of Denver's defense that I had some concerns about a little bit, at least throughout the playoffs, but coming into the series, when you're asking yourself where can Miami actually take advantage, they're not the greatest transition defense in the world. Problem is, Miami doesn't really get out and run a whole lot. They did in this last game. I do think that's something that you'll see again tonight, Matt, them trying to force that issue. That's where I agree with the movement on the total. That would be kind of an over or pass for me situation on the total. That's why I think that number is going up. Overall, I'm with you. I think a series ends tonight. I did lay 8.5 with the Nuggets. I'm not surprised to hear Drew say that, but I thought this spread, when we see closeout situations like this, Matt, I think you usually see these spreads a little bit bigger than what they were in games past. And this is right where we were at, kind of when Denver's been at home throughout this series. So 8.5, getting under that 9, it's not a big bet for me, but I did bet that here tonight. I think another way you could look is Nuggets team total over. It's basically gotten there every game. Yes, that number's starting to rise a little bit, but if you're in the camp of me, you kind of like the over, you kind of like the Nuggets anyways, that might be the way to go about it.
Yeah, I wonder, it's if you want to go about this with some sort of correlated play. I do think, though, if you like the Heat, you're going to need to play the over as well. I think that you're not going to be looking at another game in which they are unable to score 100 points and you're still able to get a win in some way, shape, or form. Like, I don't think that that's the case. If you like the Heat and you think that the Heat can somehow extend this series, I think you're also looking towards an over here as well, because you need them to kind of score 107, 108, if not 110. Like, you need them to score more point, much more points than they've been scoring so far. So I do think that there's maybe some correlation there with all of that. I mean,
I think there's a huge correlation. Yeah. Now that you're bringing it up, man, I wouldn't. There, if I'm interested in the Heat tonight, I'm not betting the Heat. I'm betting the over.
Yeah,
because they have really not been able to stop what Denver's done offensively. Mm-hmm. Denver, their offensive rating throughout this series is ridiculous. It's about 119 right now, 119.6 through these four games. You haven't slowed them down really much at all. So if Miami Heat are going to win or cover that spread, the three-point shooting's got to heat back up. Jimmy Butler's got to look like his old self again, right? But I don't think it's really going to equate to you shutting down the Nuggets offensively. So if you're interested in Miami, that's where I would go. Just bet the over.
And it gives you another out, mm-hmm. right? Like you could even be wrong and still be right, right? And still win your bet. That's kind of how I look at it. I don't see a low-scoring kind of Heat victory in this one. Now, what we have seen from a player prop perspective is we've seen Jimmy Butler's number as high as 29.5 throughout the course of the playoffs, all the way down to 26.5 in this one. Now, a lot of this probably has to do with what we were talking about just a second ago, with there's something going on with him, whether it's fatigue, whether it's injury, whether it's a combination of the two. But 26.5, 6.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists for Jimmy Butler as well. Kelly, when I take a look at this, where I have Butler is kind of on the underside of this. I kind of have it just right at like a little under 26. So there's no real edge, I don't think, one way or the other for this. I think this then becomes how you think this game is going to go. If you think the Heat are highly, highly competitive and maybe even have a chance to win the game, you're leaning towards the over here, because Jimmy Butler is going to have a game in order for them to be that team. And then I think if you're looking at this as, Nuggets are going to blow this thing out, it's not even going to be a competition, Jimmy Butler might get a curtain call, some point, and get called off the court and even give the away fans a chance to kind of, show their respect for a dude that's just played his heart out over the course of the playoffs. And so I think you're kind of looking at an under for him if you think it's going to go that direction.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I did make one player prop bet here tonight. I did play Kyle Lowry over his points and assists.
Uh-huh.
This is one we've seen his minutes ticking up. This is obviously correlated to Gabe Vincent's struggles over the past two games. But the other thing that you've seen out of Lowry is him running that second unit again. He's another one of these guys that is pushing the tempo up the floor when he's out there with that second unit. Their best five on the floor so far has been Lowry, Martin, Bam, Butler, and who's the fifth guy I am missing? And Duncan Robinson. That's been the best five on the floor so far for the Miami Heat throughout the series. So what does that say? It's Jimmy Butler and Bam, but the kind of other guys has shifted from what we saw against the Boston Celtics. So I like Lowry. I think especially in this type of situation, Matt, Gabe Vincent, the story has been awesome. Mm-hmm. But now your back's against the wall facing elimination. I think them leaning a little bit more on the veteran NBA champion Kyle Lowry is what you're going to see tonight. So I did play over 13.5 on his points and assists.
Not enough of an edge for me to actually put in the account, but for what it's worth, I do have Kevin Love about 1.5 over his. So I have him closer to 8 points as opposed to the 6.5 that he's sitting at right now. You can actually get some plus money on him over on the 6.5. One of the things that did make an adjustment was the Aaron Gordon number here, Kelly. He has the monster game, and he goes from being about 11.5, 12.5 to a 13.5 right now from a points perspective. I would not get sucked into the big game. Look, you had like we said, it was just a different type of game for Jokic. It was a mediocre shooting night for Murray. And honestly, he got a lot of easy, easy buckets. There was, if you were watching the game, you saw dunks, layups, alley-oops, all the different things that he was able to get. Some very, very easy scoring opportunities for Gordon. I think the number is appropriate. If anything, leaning back towards the under for him to get back more towards where he's been at over the course of the entire playoffs. So I don't agree with the move up to 13.5 on Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's, if anything, you're talking about a little bit of an over-adjustment at this point. I mean, he's still going to, It's really not one I'd be interested in getting involved with either side, though, Matt, right? Because what you're still going to get from him is what we've seen this entire series where, oh, you got a small guy on me? Fine, I'm going to take it right to the basket on you, and he's going to usually win that battle. But the problem is you would think if the Heat are doing things well, he's not going to end up with as many of those opportunities. Plus, you know, if he actually gets in a situation where he's relying more on shooting jumpers, then, yes, I like the unders with him.
They just opened one book out there, just opened Christian Brown. 4.5 points. What do you think?
Oof.
4.5. He's got to get to 5. He needs a 3 and get fouled.
You know what? Well, it would be over or nothing, but I'm gonna say it that way, Matt, because what if we get in this situation where it's a run out and Christian Brown's one of those guys that's probably one of the few guys left on the court that you actually saw some of throughout this series?
When we come back, listen, there's only about 100 games left in the baseball season, so why don't we sit here and talk to Paul Spohr about how those 100 games might play out. Stick around. It's a number game here on VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, is ready for the finals. Sign up using code VSiN and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Enjoy BetMGM's wide variety of parlay selection featuring live betting options, player props, and boosted odds specials during the championship series. Sign up today with code VSIN and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win that first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older. This is a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued in non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets do expire after 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotion is not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. And you really better jump on that one because the series is over tonight. If this is a final special, you better jump on that one today to get those $1,000 in bonus bets because there will not be another game. I'm calling it, Kelly. No upset tonight, buddy. It's getting done. Man. Nuggets are getting crowned.
Conveniently, you're not here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Back on Wednesday.
And if I'm wrong, angry tweet me, you know, and whatever. We can go from there. A guy that is never wrong whenever we are talking baseball, you can find his great work over at Fangraphs, is Paul Spohr. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Spohr as well. Paul, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, Matt. Thanks for having me on. That's definitely not true about me being wrong, though.
Listen, here's the thing. It's not like any of the people ever remember on Twitter, right? It's not like you ever get tweets at you about any of the calls that you make that don't pan out, right?
No.
Yeah.
Always get full credit when I'm right.
Yes.
And never have to catch any heat when I'm wrong. That's definitely how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. In my line of work as well, I get that too, buddy. Don't you worry. So let's talk a little bit about. I want to talk about the teams that you feel are actually for real. And if we look at the top of all of the divisions, right? We see the Rays, we see the Twins, we see the Rangers. Head over to the National League, you see the Braves and the Pirates and the Diamondbacks. There are a couple of teams in there that I just mentioned that certainly weren't in a lot of people's projections at the top of. Namely, the Diamondbacks. Everyone had the Dodgers at the top. The Pirates certainly wouldn't have been someone that you'd have thought this long into the season would still be there. Listen, I'm not completely sold on the Pirates, but there's something interesting about this Diamondback squad. Certainly the pitching staff has been giving it to them pretty much, you know, every time out here. Is there staying power here for Arizona, in your opinion?
Yeah, this is a ball club that I did really like coming into the year, and I certainly didn't project them to win the division, but I did have them in the wild card mix big time. I really like the Baby Snakes. I think the lineup that they've put together is really impressive. We knew Corbin Carroll was going to get a full year with veterans like Marte and Walker. Moreno, I thought, was a nice pickup. I liked that Varsho deal, even though I think Varsho is great. I thought that was a nice deal to clear up some of their outfield issues because Varsho isn't really a catcher. And then, you know, you have a true ace in Gallen. Problem is it gets a little light from there. And this might be one, unless these guys turn it around in the summer, this might be one of those where I might get the right answer, but the work I show might be wrong. You know, back in school when you had to show your work, you get the right answer, but your path there is wrong. You still got it wrong. Because I thought Brandon Faught and Dre Jameson could be big pieces here on the mound for them. And right now it's Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, and and some goofballs, really. Like, these are not strong pitchers here. Tommy Henry, Ryan Nelson, Zach Davies. Davies a veteran. He's okay, innings eater. But I really thought Fott and Jameson would be game changers for them to really help them stay. But here they are in the division lead without them. Imagine if they do get going. But I do think this team has legitimacy to it in Arizona.
Up in the American League, we have the Rays, and honestly, Orioles playing great, Yankees playing much, much better now, even the Blue Jays 7 games over .500, and the Red Sox are even at even .500. When we look at this Blue Jay squad, Manoah flamed out. We get these weird starts out of Gausman. Like every fifth start, he just gets absolutely blown up and then looks fantastic in between for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Don't know really what's going on there. As you handicap this division overall, I mean, Rays do seem like they have the staying power, but what do you think of the Orioles, the Yankees, the Jays? Is there any one of these teams that actually could come in and challenge the Rays for the division title? We have a lot of baseball to play.
Yeah, we do have tons to play. The thing of it is they may have banked enough wins to really withstand charges by the O's, Yankees, Jays, or multiples of those three. And I think all three of those teams are game to give them a run. But again, when you're talking about 5.5 game lead or bigger, 9.5, 10.5 for the Yankees and Jays, not insurmountable, right? Too early to say, seal it, don't even talk about it. They can chisel away at it. But you also have to think, is this Rays club going to come back to them at all? I mean, they lose like an ace a week and they don't feel it somehow. This team is absolutely insane. We all kind of knew when they signed Zach Eflin for the biggest deal in the history of their organization. 5-10 years ago, we might have been like, wait a minute, what's up with that? Now we've seen the Rays enough to know, oh boy, you got to be on Zach Eflin now because this is probably going to be a big move. He's been a god. So they still have McClanahan, Eflin. They did all of this without Tyler Glass now. So imagine if he can just give him 3 months, right? Just give him the rest of the season here. He fills in for one of Rasmussen's spring. Taj Bradley, I think, has I think Bradley has the skills to fill in for the other one. So they could fill in the two basically aces that they lost and not miss a beat. So while I do think those teams are game, I'm not sure that the Rays are going to come back to them. I could see it being tight down the stretch, but I still favor the Rays from here forward as far as the AL East goes.
What do you think of the Blue Jays, man? I mean, it's the lineup, it's very hard to poke a hole whenever you look. I mean, you know, even 1-9, basically, when they're standing in the box. But it's just what we've got going on the mound. Like I said, Gausman's been majority fine. He does get blown up, it seems like, one every fifth start. But outside of that, it is really kind of rolling the dice here. Is it going to be too much for them to overcome? And is it really make them a team that you don't give a real chance, you know, down the stretch and in the playoffs because of what's going on the mound?
No, I still think they got a nice three up front with Gausman, Bassett, Berríos. With Berríos returning this year, he basically offsets Manoah a bit. Right now, in fairness to Berríos, he was not as bad as Manoah has been this year, right? He at least was able to go out there every fifth day. And I know we focus a lot on fantasy and handicapping and things like that. So we don't see any value in what Berríos did last year. But a team that gets 172 innings from a guy, even at a 5.23 ERA, there is some value to that. Right now, Manoah is nothing. Like, he is adding nothing to them on the baseball field. I'm not obviously critiquing him as a person. He's at the lowest point of his career right now, being sent all the way to the rookie ball there. But that's a move they can overcome. I think we've learned over the years that no single player, even the best, right? We've seen, I think I remember one year when the Reds lost Votto, and like, there goes their season. They went on a huge run without him. They ended up making the playoffs. That just isn't how baseball is, where one guy kills you. We just got done talking about the Rays hemorrhaging an ace a week for a while, and they haven't missed a beat. So I don't think Manoah's failure, even if he doesn't come back for them, should kill them. They've also shown that they're a team that's aggressive. They're going to be in the market at the deadline too, so they can supplement that back end. I don't really believe in Kikuchi with his home run issues, but Gausman, Bassett, Berríos is a top three I can believe in. Get them a little bit more bullpen strength, get some fourth, fifth starters that you can rely on, and they're every bit as good as these other ball clubs in the East.
In the AL side of things, from an MVP perspective, it's definitely Shohei. I guess there is an outside chance he gets moved, and this could really make this market very, very interesting. You can tell me I'm crazy. It's fine. You won't be the first one even today to do it. Wander Franco, 30-1 right now, and I feel like maybe we're sleeping just a tad on a dude that's the best team in baseball with the Rays. He strikes out at a ridiculously low clip. He basically is 1-for-1 walk to strikeout ratio. He's stealing bases. He's hitting for power. He's scoring runs. What more does this dude have to do playing on the best team in baseball to get some respect in this market?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly where I was going to go. I'm somebody who believes that Ohtani deserves it every year, that he's elite on both sides of the ball, including last year. Sorry, Aaron Judge. But absent that, or if the trade happens, like you said, if he gets traded to the NL, that throws everything up in the air. And I do think Franco is the guy that you look at next. He's having the breakout, right? I had an issue with him last year in the fantasy world where I was like, where's the fantasy juice? Where's the power? Where's the speed? Because he really wasn't showing either of those. These new speed rules, new rules that have enhanced stolen bases have really done a number on several guys, including Franco, who already has 22, but he's also having the power development, already has eight homers. He's not going to be a power stud, but if you're hitting 300 with a 365, 370 OBP, 20 homers, 40 steals, gobs of runs and ribbies because you're on the best team, that's an MVP candidate. So I agree that Franco is a good ticket to get right now, just in case something happens with Ohtani, or if the voters, again, have that stupid voter fatigue where they're too dumb to vote for the best guy, then maybe you have a chance with Franco. But I still think it is Ohtani as the number one guy by a lot right now.
Paul, we got about 30 seconds. Who are we buying in the AL Central? What's going on in that division?
I think the Twins are better than we've seen. I really love what they're doing with their pitching. They develop pitching very well. They have a lineup that is better than this, too. It's underperformed. They're kind of keeping some teams in it. And if the Guardians get any of their hitting from last year, turning it around, they'll be in this, too. So I think it's going to be a Twins-Guardians race here because I do think a few guys like Jimenez are going to start turning it around for the Guards. But I do still favor the Twins.
Find his great work over at Fangraphs. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Spore. The best stash we have seen on the network in years. He is Paul Spore. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Stick around for hour number two here of A Numbers Game. We're going to talk some U.S. Open and see what we've got in the account already.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. Spin bets want to know where the money and the bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see the changes in all the action. Where's public betting? Based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check it out not just for today's action, but for future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game over at VSiN.com.
How about some quick betting splits updates? I just got in my email.
Let's do it, buddy.
From old BetMGM on the U.S. Open.
All right.
Highest handle percentage golfer so far.
Okay, hold on. I was gonna guess, and I was gonna say Brooks Koepka.
All right, who's number two?
The only reason I was gonna say that is because the odds on Brooks are down to 11-1.
Yeah.
And it's like you know. Granted, the odds were gonna be much shorter than we had seen for the first two majors, just based off of what he has done. But for it to get down to 11. For him to be the third shot in this tournament, it had to have been based off of an incredible amount of action, and I assume that's what we're seeing here.
Yep, 13% of the handle so far. would you like to guess who number two is?
I'm going to go with one Patrick Cantlay.
Nope. But another
Victor Hovland.
Another popular narrative guy that, I don't know, me and you will probably end up on.
Max Homa. Yeah. Yep. California kid, yeah.
He is the highest ticket count, too. Max Homa is.
Yeah, I mean, he is at 30-1 right now over at DraftKings. You'd want to see, I think, a little bit longer of a number. We're not going to get it.
Yeah.
We're not going to get it because he's only going to draw more money. The more the narrative is painted of the California and the wins in California and going back to the West Coast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I very rarely say, hey, you're going to get the best of the number right this second. But I would, if there's 30 still available out there on Homa, I'd probably go ahead and bet it now if you do want to bet him because I can't imagine this number gets bigger.
Do you have a bet on him?
Yeah, I do. And I only got 31-1. So,
okay.
Yeah, I only got 31-1. I made that bet 3 weeks ago. So if that says anything.
Yeah, I didn't bet him early. So I don't know. I'm going to be doing a bunch of my research here tonight. I might end up. I'm kind of with you though. My mind right now, I think I want a little longer than 30 on him with what this field looks like. I mean, yes, recent form and what this field looks like. I know we're going back to California. But still, Matt, with how the rest of this field's shaping up, I think I want longer than 30 on him still.
Yeah, but, it's going
to
be.
Don't hold me to that when I come back here tomorrow and say I'm on Max Homa.
Yeah, and I mean, and last thing, we're going to move on to the NFL. But look, Ricky Fowler, I don't think he's worth an outright bet. But look, his game is about as good as anybody in professional golf right now from a consistency standpoint. Now, Ricky doesn't have the firepower that the most of these guys have in order to really go and get a title, I don't think, really, at this point. But, boy, top 20 machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, I will have placement market bets on Ricky Fowler for sure in this thing. And, look, he's driving it pretty accurately. That's what I think is going to be important this week. And not worth a 60-1. It would need to be triple digits, I think, for me to want to get in on him from an outright perspective. But, boy, from a player head-to-head, I think maybe even be looking at him against some of these other dudes that he's going to be paired up against. But let's talk some NFL. And we have had a couple of big-name guys hit the free agency streets here. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, and there are markets as to where these guys might be playing the NFL this year. And I look at Dalvin Cook, and it is a guy that still contributes at a high level. He is a 1,000-yard back. He catches balls out of the backfield. He still has, in my opinion, probably 2-3 good years left before he hits that 30-year-old running back, you know, nosedive, which we see with all these guys. He's still 27, and so I think you're going to get 2 or 3 good years out of him. Everything points to the Dolphins. Betting odds plus 125 on the Dolphins. Broncos sitting 5-1. Jets at 9-1. Bills at 9-1. Cowboys 10-1. And then you get into the little bit longer shots. Bears, Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, Chargers. That's 13, 18, 20, 25, and 30, respectively. Now, the Dolphins make the most sense. They need a running back. He is tied to the area. He has almost even, if you read into some of the posts that he put on Instagram, maybe he has even given it away, Kelly, where he said where he did his little goodbye post, and it happened to be he was actually in the Miami stadium, and so maybe he kind of gave it away that he wants to go even down there. But if you look at some of these other teams, it depends on whether he wants to chase a ring or not. We know the Chiefs always kind of take in some of these older backs, and they'll welcome in some of these dudes with open arms. I think he would be the most talented of the guys that they had brought in of recent. Remember, like, they've had, like, LeSean McCoy, and they've had, like, Jerick McKinnon. They've had these guys that, you know, have been cast-offs from other teams come in and play for them. 18-1, I don't think I'd necessarily go there. The Dolphins definitely make the most sense, but I think the Bills are only on there because his brother plays for the team. Like, I don't know why would the Bills bring in Dalvin Cook with what they've got right now? I don't really get that at all.
Well, I think it's an upgrade, but, man, is that room deep.
Yeah.
Like, that room has got four. Naheem Hines is on there as the fourth running back right now in their depth chart.
Yeah. So, I don't know. For me, I think the number is shorter than it should be strictly because his brother plays there, and they think that they're, you know, why wouldn't he want to go play with his brother? I think he's going to go whichever team gives him the most money and also has at least a realistic chance of winning. I don't see him going to a team that doesn't really have a chance of competing. The Broncos are certainly interesting.
Yeah.
I think that he could give Russell Wilson maybe what Russell Wilson needs in kind of a secondary guy that he could dump off the ball to whenever things get in trouble. Like, I think that it's at least intriguing. I hate to say it, though. If I had 100 American Kelly bucks and you said, hey, you have to put it down, I think he ends up in Miami. I think he ends up with the Dolphins. And, boy, now you add him to the mix for an offense that looks pretty enticing as it is anyway, and now you add a back that can be pretty dynamic running the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield. I like the Dolphins so long as Tua can stay healthy.
Yeah, me too. I think with what we saw that offense, I don't know about you, Matt, but I thought that there was a lot of negatives taken away from the Miami Dolphins season after last year. I was like, man, if you looked at what they did with Tua when he was on the field, this is one of the best offenses in football. So I mean, yes, I think it's a perfect fit. You're talking about a guy who went to Miami Central High School, would love to go back home. I mean, Matt, you're talking about a number. I think I'd bet it. I really do. I think I'd bet it. I just don't know where else you're talking about. Yeah, I think Broncos, we made the case for. I do think that could make some sense. I just don't really see Dalvin. Like, if it's him choosing between the Broncos and the Dolphins, like, I think it's a really easy choice for him.
Yeah, me too. Like, I think that it's one of those things where they have some money that they can pay him, and also, do you have a realistic chance of, like, could the Dolphins, in theory, and I understand the AFC is going to be horrible. I mean, like, it's going to be absolutely terrible. You're trying to get through the Chiefs. You're trying to get through the Bills. You're trying to get through the Bengals. You're trying to get through the Ravens. You're trying to get through maybe a team that looks a little bit stronger in the Chargers. There's a lot of teams over in the AFC that's going to be good. But,
yeah,
man, if the Dolphins run pure, if everything goes good for that team, I think there's, you know, every year we get two teams that greatly overperform and two teams that greatly underperform. I think the Dolphins could be one of those greatly overperformed teams. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they even win that division.
I'm right there with you. I think I'll be ending up on overs on win totals for them. And, yes, I think they land a guy like Dalvin Cook. Because I know we rip on the running back market a lot these days. You add a guy like that, this offense becomes even stronger. It was already really good. I think this team is right in the mix to win that division. Now, we're talking about – I know we got one other guy we're going to get to here about who's on the free agent market as well. Got an important update out of Patriots camp just this morning on this one, Matt. Asked of Bill Belichick about DeAndre Hopkins. Here is the very Belichickian answer he had to say. Talk to him. Working through it, not sure on whether DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, that clears things up.
Yeah, that so clears things up a lot, yeah.
Betting markets are going to start moving off of that quote. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins, the other big free agent name that is out there. Now, look, are we dealing with a dude that's on the wrong side of kind of the career arc? Yes, it is. The age is certainly going to start taking toll on DeAndre Hopkins, but I think his level of play is still incredibly high, and he's got, kind of like we just mentioned with Dalvin Cook, he's probably got two or three good years to give to one of these teams. The Bills are your short shot at plus 250. Lions at 350. Browns are also at 350. Patriots at 450. Now, the reason that these teams are all listed here, outside of the Lions, actually, because the Lions, with Amon-Ra St. Brown and then also Jameson Williams, who they'll get back after six games, they're not really in need of a secondary wide receiver, but the Bills need a number two very, very badly. The Browns need a number two pretty badly. The Patriots just need a number one. The Patriots don't even have a one. The Patriots need a number one in town. So you start to look and they really, those teams make the most sense because of what you're looking at, what you really, really need. Titans, I mean, I guess, do you think if you're the Titans organization that bringing in DeAndre Hopkins is really going to change what you are fundamentally as a franchise? I don't really think so. Kelly, to me, it's the Bills or the Chiefs if I'm DeAndre Hopkins. And it's one of the two. I understand the Chiefs aren't going to be able to give me as much money, but basically if Patrick Mahomes is throwing you the ball, you turn into a god. It does not matter. And if you're already good like DeAndre Hopkins, you get even better. And if you're the Bills, it makes all the sense in the world. The Bills have no number two whatsoever. Gabe Davis has proven that he cannot be a consistent number two. And if you throw him on the Bills with Steph Diggs, and now Gabe Davis can be your number three where he needs to be anyway, goodness gracious, give me some Bills.
Yeah, and this is like DeAndre Hopkins, just like Dalvin Cook, not washed. Not washed. You can get these guys, and they're still playing really well.
Talk a little MLB on the other side. Got one play in the account as well.